Holy Wit!
What did you just say?
Holy Wit, a podcast for warriors in training.
Today's podcast is about dealing with divisive people within community. So we asked the question, and we will answer the question today, how do we deal with divisive people? Or where is the line when dealing with divisive people is even better?
Right. So we're coming out of what Paul wrote to Titus. And this is the launching point from the series that we have developed at Warrior Nations called Broken Branches. And it's a broken branches, it doesn't sound like it's about community. In fact, it is about community because we have so much brokenness inside the body that we don't know how to deal with.
Right.
Or we're not dealing with it in a godly way, or we think we're dealing with it in a godly way. Have we looked at Titus where he says, avoid foolish controversies? They're all around us.
Especially more today than ever.
Well, it seems more today than ever just because it's the media highlights it and it becomes a topic of conversation. And it's the subject of and the reason of these restrictions that we're forced to live with.
Right.
So avoid foolish controversies and genealogies and arguments and quarrels about the law because these are unprofitable and useless. And he goes on to say, warn a divisive person once and then warn them a second time. After that, have nothing to do with them. You may be sure that such people are warped and sinful. They are self-condemned. And when you read scripture like this, do you forget about it and say it doesn't apply to me? Do you dig further into it and seek God and other godly counsel? What is Paul saying to Titus in this, and how does it apply to me? Because I know that God wastes nothing. And so his counsel, Paul's counsel to Titus, is not wasteful.
Or do we move into avoidance?
Well, that's exactly. It doesn't say, right? It doesn't say avoid doing the godly thing. It says avoid foolish controversies.
Yeah, not avoid the person.
Right.
Not run away.
Well, but he says, warn a divisive person once and then warn them a second time. So when I was reading this last year, actually, before all these restrictions and COVID really reared its ugly head and took off to become what we know it to be today, I was reading it in the Message version where it says, warn a quarrelsome person once or twice, but then be done with them. And I thought, that's kind of harsh. Once or twice. So it's not even the baseball term, three strikes and you're out, or in slow pitch, four strikes. It's like twice. You don't even get that third strike.
Yeah.
So I'm like, is this literal or is this figurative? Like, what are you saying? So warn a quarrelsome person once or twice, but then be done with them. It's obvious that such a person is out of line, rebellious against God. By persisting in divisiveness, he cuts himself off. And when I first read that Message portion, I heard Holy Spirit speak to my spirit right away, and he asked, why are you chasing broken branches? And that's where the title for the series came to be, Broken Branches. Why are we chasing people who are rebellious against God to be connected to?
Yeah, where's that need to want to rescue?
Right. If they are rebellious against God, notice what it's saying, rebellious against God. He cuts himself off. They are cutting themselves off.
Yeah.
And we are all connected to the vine. And God's not chasing them. God's waiting for them to be open to him, absolutely. But he's not necessarily chasing them, going, please, please.
Yeah, he doesn't write them off.
He does not write them off.
But he allows them a time in their own.
Right, and we talk about that through the series.
Yeah.
We're not going to get into it today. That's an awesome nugget.
Yeah.
When you go through it. About God pursuing us.
Right.
And when our hearts are tender towards him, we go looking for him and he makes himself found.
Mm-hmm.
Which is awesome. And getting back to what Paul's writing to Titus, it intrigued me because I've been this has been my experience throughout the Christian life. My draw to Christ and his church was the connectedness that his word describes that his body is to be, the people are to be. And I'm, most of my life now, I've spent more, when I look back on my life, I've spent more of it living for Christ than I did living without Christ. Mm-hmm. And I honestly cannot say that I see this. And when I talk to people and people go through this, I ask them, are you experiencing this? And the answer is no, that's why they're taking it. Is because no. And then I ask, is this what you want? Yes. Okay, well then what do you do with Titus? What do you do with Titus? Where's the line? Warn a divisive person once, a quarrelsome person once, and then a second time, and after that have nothing to do with them.
Yeah, before I jump to the line, my I guess question that comes to my mind is, what does a divisive person look like? Because we can find any, too often we'll look at scripture and go, oh, well, that person's a divisive person because they're not agreeing with me. So they're being divisive. But what does a divisive person look like? So it talks about being quarrelsome in it. So they're always quarrelsome. They're always arguing with you and others. They're always finding something wrong. But what is that divisive person?
Well, you have your iron sharpens iron, and it's different than arguing. So we can debate. And as we debate over something in Scripture like Titus, and we're trying to discover what it is that God means by it, and we're discovering this together. And we can walk away not agreeing 100% with each other and still maintain a relationship because we're still fully committed to God and therefore fully committed to each other. But that quarrelsome person cannot stand that anybody is not agreeing fully. It's an all or nothing thing.
Okay.
If you don't agree with me complete in this one thing, you may agree with me in 90% of what I'm saying, but you would disagree with me in this 10%, and suddenly that's 10% to me is the 90.
Right. Mountain out of a molehill.
Right. It becomes so lopsided that they're willing to cut off that relationship because of a minor offense against them. It's not against God.
Right.
It's against the person. So I'm offended because you don't agree with me on this, because I know that I'm right. Well, the other person's going, but I know that I'm right too, and you're not, and then you stop listening to each other.
So a barrier is set up.
There's a barrier, and not a boundary, it's a barrier.
Right, two different things.
Right.
Boundaries are different than barriers.
Right.
So people, a divisive person will erect a barrier for the purpose of cutting themselves off and cutting you off.
Right, and a divisive person also worms their way in, like Paul warned in Timothy, be careful of those people that worm their way in. And it talks about weak and take over weak-willed women.
Yeah.
But it's really weak-willed people. People that are not rooted, people that are not confident, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
And they get in there and they divide them.
Yeah.
And we see this in churches. You and I have seen it, and you've seen it before because I wasn't raised in the church. You've seen it as a kid growing up, where churches will split over the dumbest things, over the style of worship. Who cares what the style is as long as you're worshiping God?
Right. Because it's not done my way.
Exactly.
That's my agenda.
Right.
Yeah. Or we're not spending the money in the right places, or we're not, I don't like the way that was preached.
Or how dare you suggest that I can be demonized?
Right, let's get to that part, right? Be under the influence of a demon.
Right.
You know, basic things that we see throughout Scripture, people don't like it. They don't like to hear it, so they don't want to be.
And how dare you say that I have an issue?
Yes.
Because God has saved me. God, and how dare you say that I'm living in intentional sin? God's forgiven me.
Right.
Like all these.
Yeah. How can you tell me I can't live with my girlfriend or boyfriend?
Right. So that would be an offense against God.
Yeah.
And denying things that are spiritually true, just because we don't see them, doesn't make them a lie. Doesn't make it false.
Right.
Doesn't mean that I ate pizza before I went to bed last night and woke up with this belief.
Yeah.
It's got to be against God, not against me. Because I could be hungry and in a bad mood And somebody who thinks that Christians should never be in a bad mood would be offended by my bad mood.
Right. And Proverbs says it's to a man's glory to overlook an offense.
Exactly.
So, you know, those who are walking with Jesus don't get offended very easily.
They shouldn't.
Well, they shouldn't be offended very easily with basic offenses. It's different, right? And we have to discern that's different when it's an offense against God. If it's living contrary to God's will, according to what he has in his word, right? Then, yes, then we actually are to be offended by that.
So which is more offensive, and we talk about this later on in Broken Branches, which is more offensive and which is more unloving and unkind? By pointing out an offense against God to a fellow Christian, or staying silent because we don't know how to bring it up?
Well, of course, the latter. It's more offensive to not say anything because we're operating out of our own fear of man or fear of rejection.
So if I'm single, unmarried, meaning single, and I'm living with a boyfriend, and I'm still going to church, I'm still involved in ministry, and nobody's saying anything to me to correct me.
Right.
Knowing what the scripture says, that I'm living in sexual immorality and therefore will not inherit the kingdom of heaven, by people in the body of Christ who I have relationship with, that's key.
Yeah.
Who I have relationship with are staying silent. They're actually keeping me from inheriting the kingdom of God, from seeing the error in my ways.
Right.
And my thinking.
Right.
And that is cruel and unkind.
Yeah.
And that is offensive. It's not offensive to say, Steph, you know what? I want to point something out to you because I see what you're doing. I see how you're living. And I believe what God says, that this is not going to work out well for you.
Yes.
And this is what needs to be done in order to correct that. This is the repentance. This is the change of lifestyle. This is the change of your mindset. To direct it towards God. And you're not doing it to please me, you're doing it to get right with God.
Yeah, to live in what the fullness that he has set for you.
Right, and so then when we read scripture, it's not wrong for a Christian to have a horrible thought.
Right.
Because the Bible tells us that we're to take all of our thoughts captive and present it to Christ, that we're supposed to think of things that are lovely, pure, excellent, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And so what happens when our thoughts are not there? Because God does want us to think in those ways.
Sure.
He gives us that opportunity to take that thought captive, lay it before Christ, and measure it with God and inside community and go, okay, this is wrong thinking. How can I get on top of that? And if we don't have that community around us, iron sharpens iron.
Healthy community.
Right. Then we're going to be living a lie thinking that we're right.
Right, then everything's fine because it aligns with what everybody else is doing.
And so when we read Titus, warn a divisive person once or twice, well, I'm not being divisive because I'm actually not arguing with anybody, but that's not what he's saying.
Yeah.
We have to go with gentleness and we have to go in love to correct each other. But if you're coming to correct me because I'm that unmarried woman living with a boyfriend and I'm telling you to go pound sand.
Yeah.
Well, now it's not about you coming to me. It's about my heart towards God. It's about what I believe about him.
Right.
And now I'm being rebellious against God and therefore offending him. And that community has every right to walk me to the door for a time.
Mm-hmm.
Have nothing to do with me for a time.
Separate from community.
And then we unpack that more in these sessions for Broken Branches. What does that mean? How does it look in today's world?
Right. And all, yeah. Good. So that's a good quick synopsis, intro to what we'll be talking about over the next few podcasts. And so in that, I'm talking and looking and kind of just defining what a divisive person is or looks like. I guess the question comes, what makes relationships then work?
Authenticity. Vulnerability. It's even tough to say that word. Vulnerability.
Yeah. Authenticity. Being real with each other. Being honest with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Sharing our life with each other.
And that includes our struggles. And you know what? If we do this in community, and we don't mean a big community, this can be a small.
Should be small, I think.
It should be small.
To a big community, you can still hide.
Absolutely,
you can. Pretend to be somebody that you're not.
But in a big community, you can still have your smaller community.
Sure, you can.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there's no, what I've experienced over time is that transformation or life change doesn't happen in big large organizations.
No, it can't.
It's impossible. It happens, actually, I find it happens more in that tight community, that smaller group of band of six or even three.
It's got to be at least three, because if it's only two, then you risk becoming codependent.
Well, you risk that, and then, you know, we talk about discipleship that way. You end up becoming more like the other person. You know, it's better in a larger, say, you know, a community of
at least three.
What we call a spiritual family. People live it, you know, doing life together, so that you're actually, you know, everybody's rubbing off on everybody else. They're exactly different ways of Jesus to each other within that. And I think that's a healthy balance, because then you're not going to become just like this other person. You're not going to mimic one other person. We're actually to become like Jesus, and we get that through different people and different ways of living life.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so healthy relationships, I want to talk the rest of the time around this, require boundaries. And when we talk about boundaries, again, too often people think, here's my line in the sand, this is my boundary. If you cross that boundary,
I'm done with you.
I'm done with you. That's it for you.
And that's why I think Titus applies to me. And we're wrong in thinking that way.
Well, because we're not contextualizing it.
Exactly.
What Titus said.
Yeah.
Right.
We're taking that line and saying this is the prescription, this is the answer to what's ill.
Yeah. And we hear a lot about boundaries now. We need healthy boundaries in our lives.
We've heard about it for decades now, yes.
Yeah. But I think it's becoming more and more now, because people, again, are taking it going, you cross my boundary, you're now invading my safe space. You're now trying
an unsafe
to
person.
Force your beliefs on me and crossing that boundary.
Mm-hmm.
I believe this, and my belief is my belief. It's like, well, no. My truth is my truth. No, there's only one truth. We know that truth is Jesus Christ. So based on our boundaries, should it align with what God says?
Yes.
And so I guess the question becomes, where do boundaries become unhealthy? Or what's an unhealthy boundary look like?
I think a lot of us would be shocked to realize that what we tend to do when we establish a boundary in a relationship is we begin to guard that boundary. We begin to set our focus on that boundary, and we watch it like a security guard 24/7. And it becomes more about that boundary and less about the person and less about that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So when that person comes close to that boundary, or even smells like they're coming close to that boundary, you're going to smack them down like whack-a-mole. That game where the weasels would pop up and you whack them down.
Yep.
Because we become hypersensitive now with that boundary.
Yes.
And that becomes an unhealthy boundary.
So boundaries becomes the focus rather than the relationship.
That's when boundaries, I believe, become unhealthy.
Yeah. Well, so if that's the case, what does a healthy boundary look like?
Well, you're going to work it out. Just because you lay a boundary down doesn't mean that it's going to be perfect the moment that it's established.
Mm-hmm.
It takes time to work that thing out.
Yeah.
However it looks. Like, what would be some boundaries that you would put in a relationship?
Well,
a friendship or coworker or...
Well, we've talked about... We were joking about this before we started the podcast.
Right, but bad boundary.
Boundary in marriage is, I can't have other girlfriends.
And I can't have other boyfriends. But that boundary, I don't think that one applies. Because if you came home with a girlfriend today, I'd be out the door. Right?
But
there's no taking
still,
time to
that's
set
still
that
boundary.
Down.
That's right. It's still a line that you don't cross.
Well, that's a line that you don't cross.
But that's God's.
But I'm not
God's standards.
But I'm not sniffing around every. I'm not accusing you every time a woman talks to you of having an unacceptable relationship with that girl.
Right.
And that's what I guess where that boundary would be unhealthy.
Yeah.
Is if I'm not allowed to talk to men and you're not allowed to talk to women.
Right. That's to the extreme then.
That would be to the extreme.
Yeah.
In that. What would be some other boundaries?
Well, these other boundaries become, I guess it depends on the level of the relationship, because there's some people that you don't share deep, intimate things with. So one thing, well, that would be a boundary. I'm not going to share the intimate things of my heart with somebody who's new to community or who's new to me.
But normally when we put boundaries down, normally when we see a need, when we first meet somebody, whether it's a friendship, well, let's talk in terms of friendship, because that's ultimately what we're talking about in community, is we meet somebody and we want to get to know them. So we're not as protective of those boundaries mm-hmm. until we feel that it's been breached, until we feel that we've been violated,
right.
until we see something unhealthy
yeah.
coming out of this friendship that's being developed. So then we lay the boundary down. Now, there are times when it's an issue of trust. And because that person did the same thing that they did before the boundary and after the boundary was laid down does not mean that you get rid of them. It means that you got to go back to the issue of trust.
Yeah.
And you got to build that baby up from an infant.
You got to take a step back.
You got to take a step back. Yeah. And the person who laid the boundary down cannot be so hypersensitive and so vigilant to guarding that boundary that every time it's touched, that all of a sudden you're wounded as if it was the first time all over again.
Right.
You got to have that conversation, that conflict resolution kind of conversation, which we also deal with later on in Broken Branches. In having that conversation and engaging in that conflict.
Yeah.
And saying, okay, listen, I'm trusting you with this little pebble of sand.
Mm-hmm.
And it will grow. But it's only going to grow depending on if you respect this boundary,
right?
That's gone down, and vice versa, right? A lot of the time it's not just a one grievance on one side; it's both.
Yeah, yeah. So in that, when we talk about Titus, going back to Titus, I think you've touched on it. About guarding the line, when we draw the line, when we guard it. How do we then start to equip ourselves or learn to not become the person that guards that boundary to the point of it becoming like they were watching it to waiting to be offended? How do we learn to become that person that's not that person that's always on guard, waiting for you to cross the line? Then I'm going to be offended. I'm going to cut you off, like Titus said.
Yeah.
I'm going to warn you once or warn you twice, and then after that, I'm going to, consider you divisive because you've crossed my boundary.
And therefore, you haven't respected me.
Haven't respected me, so now I want nothing to do with you.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've seen that with people too. It becomes they invite you into relationship. And then you almost seem to cross that invisible boundary that you don't even know is there. They react in that guarded way. They kind of push it back, and then it happens again. And then after that, they're done with you. They want nothing to do with you. They leave you. They cut you off. They have no more communication with you.
And you don't know why.
Right. And that's very unhealthy, because to me that speaks to the fact that they are very unhealthy. In one area of their life, that there's something there that they need to allow to God to rise to the surface to deal with. That's their thing. That's between them and God. But it becomes, for us, it becomes, if we're going to have healthy community, have healthy spiritual family, have healthy relationships, how do we do that where if somebody does cross that boundary or that line, we don't react that way, so that they're confused with the whole, well, I thought we were friends. I thought we were becoming more intimate in our conversations, in our friendship.
I think you answered your question in part, that it goes back to the wounds of that person who's hyper guarding the boundary, who's obsessed in guarding, I'm going to use the word obsessed, in guarding that boundary. Because a divisive person can be the one who lays that boundary down.
Right.
It's not always who's on the other side of that boundary. It could be the person laying it down, because that person could be the walking wounded. that person can be the one that's not dealing with hurts in their other relationships, and therefore, whether they know it or not, it's coming out in their current relationships.
Yeah.
And they may not know why. And here's the thing. I believe what Paul was saying to Titus was not Titus's responsibility for him and he only. Because Titus was supervising the church in Crete.
Yes.
A Jerusalem church. He would have had a council. It would have been the council's decision to send somebody packing. It's never a one-person decision.
Yeah, never the leader's choice.
It's got to be the community for the better, right? This is a loving action.
Yeah.
And if it's not done in love, then you cannot be making that, you cannot be leading the community to make that decision if it's not being done in love, if it's not being done for the better of the other person.
Yes.
For their repentance and their correction kind of thing. And if we're going into it with the wrong kind of mindset that, yay, we're free of this person, we are living a delusion, because there's always going to be an empty space in your community where that person fills.
Yes.
And I think that if we look at our communities, we can see figurative holes in our communities where we've booted somebody out because they've offended us, not so much offended God. And oftentimes, and we've seen it too, and we've heard about it in other communities where you have a husband and wife that are going through a brutal time, end up with a brutal separation and a horrible divorce, and what happens to their community?
Well, one person ends up leaving, the other person stays. They both leave, and they're both without community.
But in the one that I'm thinking of, the one person who stayed demanded that the rest of the group take their side.
Yeah.
And so then it became,
you gotta side with me against the other person,
or else the wrath of God is gonna come down on you.
Yeah.
What's really your wrath coming down on the group, and ended up, the entire group ended up dividing.
Right.
How is that healthy?
Yeah, well, that divisive, right? It divided.
But it was the person who wanted the entire group to agree with them that set the boundary down.
Right.
So what I'm saying is that oftentimes as a community, we need that discernment. We need that wisdom. And it needs to be fleshed out in community, not privately against that person, with that person.
Yes.
That we're talking about. And it could be with that couple.
Yeah. And it can even go back to the point that, not even at that point, it's not even dealing with that division right there. It started way before, when that couple was going through issues.
And so then, when are we having these conversations?
Yes.
Are we having these conversations when it looks like it's a deal breaker? Or are we having these conversations along the line when we start to see something that's out of line?
Right, that's where we start the conversation.
That's what I think needs to happen in our communities, is that that's what health, I believe, looks like.
Look, yes.
I think something's wrong here. Something's just unsettling for me. Can we talk this through? And it doesn't mean that you're reprimanding the other person.
Right. Not bringing the rod of wrath.
Right. Should I come at you with the rod of discipline, or should I come at you with a gentle spirit and in love, right? Like, that's how, and when you're, try talking to somebody who feels like their back is against the wall, who feels like their community is ganging up on them, and you're not going to get anywhere because defenses and walls have gone up. But you talk to them along the line before those walls are constructed and gain strength. That's when we win people over, I believe.
Yeah, and we walk with them. And I think part of that comes to the point of, we need to learn to be, well, being honest. We can come with gentleness and love, but we can be direct with people. So I think too, we too much dance around situations. And you know, when I was pastoring, I saw this, and it annoyed me, where churches allowed people to be divorced, let alone remarry the same people when they know it's wrong, because it was a divorce in those situations was not a biblical, there was no biblical basis for that divorce. But rather than stepping in and individually walking with those people in the community to get them healthy and in the right place in the relationship, they avoided it because it was uncomfortable and they weren't willing to be direct. This sheepish mentality of Christians is not about, that's not gentleness. being sheepish and avoiding those tough conversations. We need to have those difficult conversations with people.
And you know, it even comes down not just with the married people who are separating and divorcing. It comes down to what kind of counsel are you giving two friends who are at odds now with each other?
Sure.
Like the best counsel that I hear that's been given is, well, the best you can expect is to be able to be in the same room with each other.
Yeah.
Is that God's best?
Well, of course it's not.
Well, of course it's not. So why is this counsel being given?
Yes.
So that is offensive towards God because that's against God.
Yeah.
He is in the business of restoration. He wants to restore and repair relationships. He doesn't want you to just be able to be in the same room with each other because you can still avoid and cause trouble.
Yes. Yeah. Or you could sit there in stunned silence where you're just seething.
And it affects the whole.
Well, that will actually shift the environment of the group.
That's what I'm saying. It affects
the whole.
You feel it. Yeah, exactly.
Right? It's like a slow rot.
But it's not so much in blaming the church. It's looking at, are we willing to be equipped in growing these healthy communities, these biblically authentic communities? Where are we lacking the equipping for that?
Well, it starts with just people.
But what I'm saying is that we look around and the many people that I've asked about conflict resolution, which I don't want to get into, I'm just going to say this and then shut the door on it, is why is conflict resolution, why is conflict so uncomfortable? I believe that in learning how to engage in healthy conflict is the key to equipping us into building our authentic biblical communities.
Yeah.
In maintaining God's standard, it's not about us. So in answer to your question before, it's realizing that we got to think of ourselves in sober judgment and thinking of people higher than ourselves. And if we can do that, we realize, we go to God and go, is this my offense or is this your offense?
Yes.
Help me weigh this out. Because if it's about me, help me drop that thing. Show me, teach me how to drop that thing. Because I don't want to be burdened with what offends me.
Yes.
I want to be burdened with what offends you, my Lord. Mm-hmm. Right? And I think that's one of the key differences when we're encountering a quarrelsome person or a divisive person is what I have against them, against me or against God.
Yeah. So we're going to wrap up with that point. And what I want to say to that is there's a few things that are in part of that. In, like I said, that happens in community. And it also starts with us learning to walk with God, hear from God, because we need to have that discernment of whether is this offensive to God or is this just offending me? And we have to be open to be able to hear from God and hear God tell us, no, this is your issue that we're going to deal with first. Or this is offensive to me. We need to go to this person in love and gentleness and walk with them as well. And I think that, so there's a lot of things that are part of that. We need to, first of all, know what the Word of God says around these things.
That is
key. In its fullness, not cherry picking scripture out to suit our needs in the situations, but to know the full counsel of God. Like you said, to have that discernment together, right? To within community, to be able to have these conversations and do that way. So part of that encouragement is, as we learn to walk and hear from God, which we believe he speaks to us through scripture, through many different ways, that's something we can cultivate on our own. And I think, and as we move into that, as we bring that into our communities, our spiritual communities, that allows us all to become healthier because we're hearing from Holy Spirit, we're speaking what God is saying, and he's the great counselor in these situations. And then, like you say, if that person continues to be divisive, if you go to them twice and that's still the case, then we need to lovingly be able to say, okay, we're going to need to sever this relationship for a time. And I know we'll get to that later because it's not permanent. It's for a time. And so we encourage you to tune into the next few podcasts. I think it's probably going to be about a 7-series podcast on this. And to learn more about how to live healthy and in authentic